From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. India has one of the fastest-growing economies in the world. It grew more than 6.5% over the last year. That compares to just under 4% for the U.S. But numbers like that mask widespread poverty in India. Politicians agree that something has to be done to help the hundreds of millions who struggle just to get by. And there are different approaches. One party's plan is starting to unravel. NPR's Philip Reeves reports from New Delhi.
Shah Jahan's never expected much out of life. From childhood, he knew he'd always be poor, but he hoped for something better than this.
When I was growing up, there was no question of an education, so I never dreamt of being a big man or something like that. But I dreamt of a decent job, maybe a shop or work in some kind of industry.
Jahan survives by sifting through other people's trash. His workplace is a huge, boggy mountain of garbage on the eastern outskirts of Delhi. Every few minutes, a truck pulls up and dumps a fresh load of detritus from India's capital city. Jahan and hundreds of others, some of them small children, filter through it. A canopy of hungry vultures wheels overhead, held aloft by a strong, hot wind that never blows away the stench.
It's very difficult work. As you can see, the summers are here, and I'll have to do this work in the heat of the summer also. I fall sick quite often. There are times when I've been sick for almost a month at a time, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Jahan works with his wife. Squatting, they rifle through piles of trash, competing with rats, stray dogs and cows. They fish out plastics, glass and cardboard and place them in bags. These they sell for recycling. They say they work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Daily, they make the equivalent of $1.50, just enough to feed their three small children left at home in a nearby slum. Jahan's filthy, tired and undernourished, but he hasn't given up.
It's just a hope for the future, basically. I just want to work as hard as I can so that I can move on to something better.
Early evening in Gurgaon, a new town just south of Delhi. This is just a dozen miles from Jahan and the garbage mountain, though it may as well be on another planet. This place calls itself the City of the Malls. It's the playground for India's growing middle class, who come here to spend their earnings in pizza parlors, boutiques, in mobile phone stores and cineplexes.
When I came to India 25 years ago, I don't think that the so-called middle class could imagine in their wildest dreams that they would be as rich as they are today.
Belgium-born Jean Drez is a professor at the Delhi School of Economics. He says India's wealth gap is growing and that the government must face up to this.
I think this problem of lack of broad-based participation in the process of economic growth is really very serious. And this is one reason why initiatives like this Employment Guarantee Act are so important, because they can enable people to participate in this process.
The Employment Guarantee Act. It's a subject which Drez knows well. He sits on a national advisory council that helped draft it last year. It's an unusually bold plan in which the government would guarantee work to one person in every poor household for 100 days a year. They'd help build rural infrastructure projects, roads, say, or irrigation canals, for minimum wages. The goal's to lift out of poverty at least some of the 250 million Indians, that's a quarter of the population, who live on less than a dollar a day. Smita Gupta of India's Institute for Human Development says the country's never before contemplated anything on this scale.
I think this is unprecedented, not just in India, but in the entire third world. I cannot think of another country which has attempted this at all. And at a time when countries like China are giving up on employment for all, or full employment, to do this is really radical. And for that reason, I think it is also meeting maximum resistance.
The plan has no shortage of critics, including some within the government. They argue it costs too much and that the money anyway would be stolen or frittered away on administration. Gurcharan Das, a former chief executive of Procter & Gamble in India, sees the act as socialist interventionism doomed to fail.
This is putting the cart before the horse. This is saying, oh, I've got to create a job over there, and therefore what can I do to create a job? But that's not how you build economies. It's much more painful, and there are no new ways. And the left has been trying these tricks. They tried them in the Soviet Union, and you look how it happened to the Soviet Union, and they're trying it here.
Das is author of India Unbound, a book that argues the ultimate answer to India's poverty is sustained economic growth. He says that's been happening.
1% of the people have been crossing the poverty line for the last 24 years. And this has happened ever since our growth rate picked up to 6%. So the best tonic for poverty is growth.
Social activists and India's left wing disagree. They say the liberalization of India's economy has produced a wealthy class, including the super rich, living in heavily guarded palatial homes. But the wealth hasn't trickled down. Smita Gupta says there are several defining features to India's economic growth.
Firstly, it has been basically urban-centric growth. Number two, it has been jobless growth. Worse, it has been job-displacing growth. So you've actually had a situation where you've had growth and jobs have really fallen at the same time.
Gupta's one of a group battling to keep the Employment Guarantee Act in its original form. The government's recently watered it down on many fronts. For instance, giving itself the right to decide where, when and for how long it'll run the programme. Drez argues rowing back's a mistake and the Indian government should stick with the original plan.
First of all, I think it can really make a substantial impact on poverty. I mean, even in the limited form that has been promised by the government, that which means 100 days per household per year, even that would make a big difference to a lot of people. Secondly, it will probably considerably slow down the migration to the cities.
The migration of people like Abu Bakr Beg. Beg came to Delhi from a village in West Bengal 5 years ago to work on the same garbage mountain as Jahan. He says there were no jobs back home, so he's joined a multitude of others who've moved from the countryside to the city in search of work. He's resigned to his fate, but not to that of his 10-year-old son, Mansur, who's rifling through the trash alongside him. He wants him out.
I'm sure he doesn't enjoy this work. It's dirty work, after all. That is essential. He'll have to leave here at some point. That is something that he will have to do.
As the debate over poverty swings back and forth in India's corridors of power, exactly how Mansur and many others like him will secure a better future remains uncertain. Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.